everyone, welcome to edition 152 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are broadcasting on Future Radio in Norwich and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Have some racing fun by signing up to the game. Simply visit nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1 and join us there. My name is sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent Michael Bailey, and we are here at the Rushcutters Public House in the delightful Thorpe St Andrew by the river, by the swans and the geese, to bring you our Chinese Grand Prix review. I suppose by a river is almost apt in a way. Joining us this week, two times Beccles Kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Thank you very much.
Damon Hill fan and Mustang owner Richard Baxter.
Hello, good evening.
And NRF1 debutant and the most Scottish man in Norfolk, Stuart Hodge.
Hello.
I can't believe you've added Scottish edge there.
You belt it up, mate, so I had to do that.
Thanks so much for coming in, Stuart, for your debut. How are you feeling ahead of first pod?
A little nervous, but nothing that we can't settle as we move forward.
This is the way, you see. This is the way. We've all got drinks on the go down the pub. It's gorgeous sunny day. I should make sure we take a picture for the social media so that people can see. But it's a lovely setting and the perfect place to talk about Formula One. How are you two, Carl? Rich, you all good?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Enjoying the sunshine shining. I was at the beach yesterday, so.
Wait, which beach?
Cromer.
Cromer. For those not in Norfolk, Cromer. Go to Cromer. It's a great place to go. Anyway, right, let's go on with the racing, shall we? China, cracking Grand Prix. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was probably, Carl, better than the action in Australia by a mile.
Oh, definitely. It was, as the old mixed conditions creates a good race. It was, and also there's a decent amount of overtakes, and they were good overtakes, which obviously is the important bit. We also, the Mercedes-Ferrari duel looks like it will continue for the year. Two different tracks, and they seem very close. So it's all looking good for the season ahead.
Cool, you've got ahead of me there, because that's second on my list in terms of questions. We'll definitely get stuck onto that in a moment. But Lewis Hamilton domination. I think it was pole, fastest lap, race win, led every lap. In terms of a response to what happened in Melbourne, bang.
Yeah, very much so. Actually, only one of a handful of those that he's had in his entire career, despite the illustrious success that he's had. Lewis is, obviously, he's a winner, isn't he? I think he's still stinging a little bit from what happened last year and the fact that he's not actually going to be able to win that duel because of Nico's retirement. So, yeah, perfect way to respond. I think the key thing for me is you're looking at the fact we're going to have two really good cars on the grid, and that's massive.
Yeah, it does make a major change. It's interesting you mentioned Nico Rosberg, because he's obviously busy tweeting how great it was to see Mercedes back on. It's like, let it go, Nico. Either you quit or you want to be a part of it. But I saw someone reply to that saying, oh, it's a real shame you're not actually still in the car, Nico, because the way they are, you'd probably be able to drive it better than you did last year.
Yeah, I mean, Bottas has obviously stepped in as his replacement, and he's done an average job really so far. I suppose it's difficult moving up to such a high team and getting used to the car straight away, but he did make a silly mistake even during the race, and he's not really challenged or pushed Hamilton so far, so it would have been good to see Rosberg there, because you'd have thought you'd have a three-way race win fight, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's definitely the best way of putting it, Rich. I think you nailed that. Spot on. Well, let's get back to you then, Carl. You brought the point up. I mean, what we saw, despite all the unpredictability, all the strategy changes, maybe some dodgy decisions as well, effectively, it was Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel, obviously P1, P2, showing their class again. As you said, it does indicate that these two seem to be, it's like only their cars are good enough, and then with their own talent, it could be a proper battle here for the rest of the season. That's what it's shaping up to be.
Yeah, and it seems, I don't know if it's maybe the new cars, this creating the gap between Vettel and Raikkonen and Hamilton and Bottas, because Raikkonen has struggled the first two races. But it's a shame Vettel came in early and the sort of virtual safety car, and then the safety car sort of ruined his sort of strategy. But I think it just showed how strong that Ferrari is with him driving, that it came through the field. And also for the man that couldn't overtake a few years ago, he pulled off some pretty nice overtakes. So, and also he was quick towards the end. He was sort of catching up Lewis. I mean, obviously you don't know if Lewis was just controlling the race, which he probably was doing. But it's exciting. And also, it's quite interesting how jokey and how friendly they seem together. I'm just interested to see how long that will last. Because you kind of think, they're all great because they think, oh, we've got a battle. And also kind of think, they'll both judge each other at the end of their careers on if they beat the other. because unfortunately Alonso's made some pretty poor career decisions, and these two drivers will be the drivers of this era. So I think Hamilton was probably desperate to at least equal Vettel's this year, and then I think that battle will continue for a few years.
Just an interesting thing is, I wonder if it's the fact that both of these drivers have been involved in probably the era of Formula 1 that's seen the most changes in terms of regulations, cars, the way things are going. Do you think it's maybe just their general adaptability that is keeping them ahead of their teammates?
It's nuts with... Because you think of how bad things got for Sebastian Vettel last season. I mean, that... It's almost adaptability and durability, the fact that he's still got it, that he's almost come back to a level where he can compete, having completely lost his way. I think Lewis Hamilton said that he's hoping this will be the most exciting, the closest championship battle he's ever been involved in. Well, I mean, it's impossible, isn't it, Rich? How can it be closer than two of the ones he's fought?
Oh, 2008, being several hundred metres from losing the championship to winning it, is crazy how it can be more closer than that.
In 2007, I think he only lost by a point, didn't he? Was that right? Yeah.
Yeah, so those were ridiculously close. But I don't know, maybe he doesn't count those because they were so long ago. Maybe he's thinking the recent ones or something. But
he's just overexcited. He's getting excited.
You know, he's a winner. He's obviously got a short memory.
Yeah, that's it. I can't remember before Australia. It's all got Nicky. NRF1 podcast. See, we're missing Nico. That's the problem. Rich, you brought it up, so I'll let you talk about this first. And it was on my list. Valtteri Bottas. He called himself an amateur spin that basically took away a podium. I mean, I like Valtteri, and he's honest, and he summed it up pretty well. It's just frustrating because you want to see him shine, and you kind of feel like he's got it in there.
Yeah, definitely. I think in a lot of ways, I think by the time it gets to maybe Spain, and you know, the start of the European season, I think he might be more used to the car, get to grips with it, and he might be up there, be closer. But we saw at Williams, when he was teammates with Massa, I mean, thinking to Silverstone in 2014, I think it was, and he was second behind Massa, and everyone was saying, you know, let him go in the lead, he's clearly quicker, and he was putting Massa to shame quite a lot of the time with his speed. And I was up against Hamilton, who is, you know, as Delboy would say, the creme de la menthe for Formula 1 drivers.
My God. Are we plumbing new depths or are we reaching new heights? I can't work it out. But yeah, creme de la menthe.
That's
a good job you're drinking a pint of creme de la menthe, isn't it, really, Rich?
But it's... I've got my point now. I've got to shout.
Yes, you have.
But yeah, when Bottas is against Hamilton, you know, he's at the top of the F1 drivers. He's almost being put to shame. We've got to do something quick to, you know, put himself forward as a driver who is capable of winning a world championship and races, because no one's won a race yet, has he? So
no, and he was always inconsistent. That's the thing. Even when he was driving well for Williams, he would be inconsistent.
I mean, his qualifying is within 2/10 of Hamilton, which is not bad. Probably Rosberg was on average the difference between them at the time. I think he just needs a good qualifying or a good race, the next couple of races, just to put Marker down. Even if he beats Hamilton qualifying, loses to him in the race, just to say I'm here. I mean, he's got the ability. I think it's just he's now got to deal with the scrutiny of being at the front. He's, you know, if that spin would have happened last year in Williams, nobody would have cared. Would have forgotten about it. But because there's Mercedes, people talk about it, and he's just got to deal with that. And I think when he deals with that, then we'll see the real Valtteri.
You've obviously got a reliability argument, but what Nico managed to do is he managed to, it's not so much exploit Lewis's weaknesses, but he managed to find strengths of his own to compete. And I think if Valtteri wants to have a long term future with the team, then he needs to try and do that as well as we move forward into the season. I think Rich makes a good point about him having to adapt to the car, also having to adapt to a new team, new people to work with. I think it's going to be important that he finds his own strengths as he moves forward, because if he doesn't, then I don't think you're going to see any sort of extension.
Great points, and let's remember it's only two Grand Prix in, so we'll give you a little bit of time, Valtteri, don't worry, long season, etc. Right, it's a new pod routine, it's going down a storm as well, and we've got plenty more planned for 2017. Here comes the train. Long-term listeners will know that we regularly get trains down by the Rush Cutters. Just the single carriage there, Rich. Happy about that?
I'm really disappointed. It's a bit boring.
All right. It's all right, mate. Don't worry. We'll get to see more trains. Don't you worry. If you want to catch any of our podcasts and get yourself subscribed to the NRF1 podcast through your player of choice, so the latest editions are delivered straight onto your mobile, desktop or tablet, it's dead easy. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe to find your link, be it iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, whatever. And as far as iTunes goes, please give us a rating and a review. That will help us move up the charts, and you can help spread the love and all that sort of stuff, because we really appreciate all your help. Just visit nrf1.uk/isonitunes. Right, it is time for our Shanghai NRF1 pit stops. Where we take a little bit longer than 2.6 seconds. Red Bull, first of all, Max Verstappen liked this drive a lot. And given it kind of... I mean, what happened in qualifying, Kyle?
It was an engine problem. I can't remember if it was a mode or something.
Sticky dial.
Yes. I think it was that. I can't remember.
Regardless, anyway. 17th was it where he started. Yeah. And brilliant start. Making up places, fantastic effort, obviously here, there and everywhere in the race, but he finishes on the podium. We had a bit of whining, didn't we, at the end, I think, on the radio, but we're just going to ignore that because he's young. Are we still giving him that?
I think it's just the fact he's under pressure from his teammate.
Okay, which brings us on nicely to Ricciardo. Stuart, you'll be aware of this. It's Daniel Ricciardo, because his surname is Italian, so forget the fact he was born in Australia. The guy needs to pronounce his name right, just so we can do that. That obviously updates all our listeners too.
It's true, yeah.
In fairness, Christian Horner, he has also audibly called him Ricciardo, so I'm sticking by that. Where do we lie with what this means going forward? Because I find it interesting that Daniel couldn't beat Max.
Yeah, the fact that Max overtook him on the track is a huge statement. And they're all quite friendly at the moment, but there's going to come a time when you kind of think Red Bull, even this year, will be towards the front, that their rivalry is going to kick off. And I was sort of cheering on Danny Rick towards the end, and I thought, mainly because you support the underdog, and is he now seen as the weaker out of the two drivers? And he needs to... It's not a huge difference between third and fourth, but it's just the statements they need to make at this point of the season. But yeah, to be overtaken on track by your teammate is never good.
I think there was a few people after the race commenting about just how good a wet weather driver he was, and I mean, there's nothing I like more than a wet race. I can remember growing up watching...
Get the sprinklers out.
Yeah, watching Schumacher just scythe through the field and that kind of thing. And when it comes to Max's general ability as a driver, I think there are some very rough edges, but some drivers, as you know, guys and anyone listening will probably know, there are some people that just love a wet track. Jenson Button was really good in the rain. I'm just excited by that young guy. That lap was absolutely sensational.
It was indeed, and he just makes everyone look so rubbish when it's wet. It's nuts. Like, he's literally pulling. It's like if you're playing a computer game and you've got it on like easy mode, and you could just go down the outside and no one cares, and you're first from last to first, end of your first lap. It's nuts. But it's just general, isn't it, with Max? And I guess credit to Red Bull for letting them race. I mean, they didn't bow, did they? They were like, no, you've got to do it from start to finish.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to see them racing, and the overtake he did to Ricciardo was brilliant, a brilliant move as well. And so to the fact that Vettel copied it later on in the race. But the one thing I will just say about Verstappen, he cost us all a battle with Vettel. He locked up and he ran wide, and Vettel just went past. I think if he hadn't done that, we could have seen an awesome battle on the track there. And okay, he was under pressure, braking as late as he could, and it was a little bit too late, obviously. But that would be something pretty cool. After last year, what we saw, I can't remember, was it Mexico when there was a big kind of disagreement between them two and Ricciardo.
I always want more of that.
Also, we've seen Lewis Hamilton have some unbelievable drives in the wet. Hopefully this season we'll get a full wet race and them two battling at the front.
Yeah, especially as wet races recently have been a nightmare, haven't they? Because they've not started or they've done laps behind the safety car. Yeah. No one's actually done any racing. Yeah. So as long as we get a wet race where people can actually race. I mean, it was interesting that people were on inters, yet half the track seemed dry. It was like a nuts. It was nuts at the start, really. Cause, and, of course, Carlos Sainz, who we'll no doubt get onto as well.
Yeah, I was actually going to just mention him. Really bold choice, but I suppose we'll come on to that.
Well, no, let's talk about it now. Let's stop off at Toro Rosso, because we've just been to Red Bull, obviously. Credit where it's due, because he was on slicks. The guy couldn't get started. the straight was the wettest part of the track, wasn't it? And there's that little river and what have you. Fair play, by the way, to Graham on Twitter, who pointed that out, I think, on Friday. He nailed it. And, you know, he said if it's wet, that's going to be an issue under the media centre. And it was. But as I said, Carlos Sainz couldn't drive the first lap on the wet part of the track, but held it together. And it proved a really astute decision and good for him.
Do you think it's because his dad's a rally driver? He's maybe thinking, yeah, do you know what? Bold choice. Let's go for it. I think for a driver as young as that to take such ownership of that decision is really commendable. Actually, I mean, I know I'm joking about it, but the fact that he's obviously from a driving pedigree, Kevin Magnussen and Max, obviously. I think these younger drivers that come from a sort of dynasty of it, it's almost like they are just natural racers. And I think that's maybe true of Carlos. Obviously, you got a discrepancy in terms of talent with the different drivers. But he's another one that I think is a really, really exciting prospect.
Should we stop off at Sauber, Antonio Giovinazzi? Now, we were lapping it up. Oh, we'll never see Pascal Wehrlein again. To do it once on the straight was bad, which, of course, he did in qualifying. And totaled his car pretty much. I bet the mechanics loved it when they saw him doing it again in the race, Kyle.
I imagine Pascal had a bit of a smile on his face, well, hopefully when he was in the gym, because this, yes, seems to be the problem.
Yeah. Not sitting there eating a burger.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine he had a bit of a smile on his face, but he did that last year. So that was also quite amusing. But I think it's just sport.
But neither are good enough is what we just say.
I think that's just sport, isn't it? You know, the high one weekend and then the next race is just the ultimate low, really. I think he's shown enough in the two races he's done. He may do a third, we never know. But there's a bit of talent there. And he proved it in GP2 last year. So hopefully it won't be the last we'll see of him.
Hopefully not, indeed. I want to touch on McLaren as well, because I actually didn't have to check... For our Australia review, the NRF1 pit stops, I had Sauber, Antonio Giovinazzi, that's all I had. And so we've had to cover that 2 weeks in the trot. And McLaren, Alonso, and incredible race, I think. I think the last time he said it was incredible, this was incredible race from Fernando Alonso, Rich. Incredible. Did you see it? It was incredible.
What was more incredible was qualifying, I thought. The fact he managed to get that car up into, was it 13th or something like that on the grid? It was, how did he do that? And... when there was a clip during the race where I think it was Bottas came behind him, he had DRS, and on the camera you couldn't see Alonso in the distance, and then suddenly he appeared and he was gone. It's just that much difference in the top end, and the way he was on the radio, and I think I can't remember the exact call, but they said, oh, you know, this guy's this much faster than you in this sector, sector one or whatever, and he goes, oh yeah, but I'm quicker through the corners. And it's just the cheek he has, just because he knows the situation he's in. And
he's gone rogue. It's brilliant. It's brilliant, really entertaining. I guess, I think it was Martin Brundle who said, look, the guy's got to sit there and try and prove he's the best driver that he can be in what is a dog of a car. And I think his retirement was through a wheel bearing or drive shaft issue, wasn't it? I.e. nothing to do with a Honda engine, Kyle?
Yes, possibly, yeah. And there's Van Dorn's fuel problems. I don't know.
That might be, might not be.
They're both, too. Yeah.
The thing is, well, you're saying about McLaren, not showing everything is... am I right in saying this week was the first time we've seen them with the little T-ring on the back of their car
I think that's right, yeah.
And everyone's done that since pre-season testing. It's just like, are you that far behind on it, or was it just not helping your car and then now you've decided that it's...
Alonso might be quicker through the corners, but McLaren are so behind the curve, it's untrue. It saddens me, do you know that? Because that guy's probably one of the top 10 drivers ever. There's a really good argument for that. And he's just not in the package.
Top 10 drivers.
Right, okay.
No, I like it. No, we like
top
it.
Top 20, maybe. Top 20.
No, I like it.
I think definitely. Listen, top 10.
It's a debate we'll have at some point, so I love it. I'd much rather have that. Oh, it's train rich, two carriages.
That's doubly exciting as the last one.
That's actually the sound of McLaren in the wind tunnel.
Well said, Stu, well said.
It's probably just as aerodynamic as the McLaren as well.
Quicker through the corners.
That's the thing, though. McLaren have been hiding behind the Honda engine for years now, and there's no proof that... They keep saying, oh, you know, we're building this, you know, best chassis, and it's just the engine. There's no proof of that.
This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we?
Right, let's give you some social media plugs, shall we? Join us on our channels. They are Twitter, at the NRF1, and Facebook is also at the NRF1, or you can visit fb.me/thenrf1. We have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, and sign up over the season, and some cracking blogs as well. Callum Springles are up there. Shall we talk about the betting tips, Carl?
Wasn't the best weekend.
No, it wasn't the best weekend. We'll leave it there. But Kyle is bang on it normally. We'll all have these weekends, you know, but, you know, soon turn it around.
We'll have a Giovinazzi weekend occasionally.
Kyle described it there as a Giovinazzi weekend. We're going to have lots of F1 stats, and, of course, the prediction league is all there, the latest on the website once I get to update it. But it is all there and ready to go. Everything you need, essentially, you'll find at our website, nrf1.uk. And, of course, you can get in touch via email. We love having your emails and bringing you into the podcast. You can do that, just send them to nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Right, as you will all know, it's time for our Of the Weekends. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver, I've softened the Z there. Did you see like that? Driver of the Weekend. Nominations, please. Go on, Rich, you got your phone out.
Ooh. See, now we've hated him a bit, but I kind of want to give it to Giovinazzi because he still had the guts to step into the car when Wehrlein p***ed out, basically.
All right.
But I'm not going to give it to him.
That's a terrible suggestion, but okay.
I'm not going to give it to him, but I kind of want to, just because he was brave enough to step in the car, and he's Italian, and you know how
well... You love Italians.
Yes. Yeah. How well favoured I am with the Italians.
People will now think you hate Italians, Rich, but you don't.
No, I sung the national anthem with food in.
You did, yep. It's in the 2016 best bits. And I think it's actually its own podcast in its own right. So whatever it is, I'll dig out and there'll be a link in the show notes so you'll be able to find that. Rich loves Italians. He's not protesting too much. Anyway, have you got a proper nomination?
I will give it to Verstappen for his drive on the Sunday, because that was, you know, getting up to third. He did a... Because Mark Webber did the same thing they were saying a few years ago. So I'm going to say he did it with Mark Webber.
He did it with Mark Webber. Fine, Carl.
Carlos Sainz, because he was, yes, always mega. And a lot of the race, he was always, he had the leaders, well, apart from Hamilton, because he still went away, but the rest of them, and he was always in the back of the picture. And I thought it was a mega drive. He probably didn't get enough credit on the commentary, actually, during it. And, Carlos Sainz.
Max Verstappen, that lap. I think you closed the book on it. I loved the bold call by Sainz. As I say, I think there's a lot of mental fortitude in that young man. But Max Verstappen's just a powder keg when he fancies it, especially in a wet track.
F1 powder keg. Well, word obviously for Lewis Hamilton, who dominated everything as well too. Kevin Magnussen, eighth in the Haas.
A very good performance. He had Paul poor Australia, and he bounced back. So
that's what we like. That's what we like. Okay, how about team? Team of the weekend, Carl? This is the stodgy award, isn't it? Because it seems to take a lot for a team to kind of shine. I personally probably say Red Bull for letting the two drivers go about it. We can agree with that. We don't have to go much.
And also, if you look at Red Bull, where they've been off the pace, they still finished ahead of one Ferrari and one Mercedes.
I was thinking exactly that. Third and fourth with a car that's not at that level yet.
That's actually a question we missed, actually. Do they have better pace, or is it just one of those things, do you think, Carl?
The Red Bull?
Yeah.
I think it's a bold strategy, really, with the early super soft tyres seem to work and pushed everybody else into another stop. Verstappen still finished 45 seconds behind Hamilton.
Don't get excited yet then, really. No, okay, fair enough. Pastor, there's a new one for you, Stuart. Pastor, this is our Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. This is the guy who, you know, failed to nail it, so to speak, or just stuck it in the wall, whatever. Had a dog of a weekend, also known as the goat. I don't know, just because a goat was a dodgy animal, I think, was why we originally named it Goat of the Weekend. It's like, as if, you know, I don't know. I don't know why we've got it against goats.
The goat can also be the greatest of all time.
Well, exactly. So, definitely not that.
No. So
anyway, yeah. Who had a shocker? I mean, Giovinazzi, I suppose, in a way, really, putting it into the wall in the same place twice.
The one I'm going to pick on, though, is Nico Hülkenberg, because he did a brilliant job in qualifying. I think it was sixth place he started. And he started the race and he was doing good. And you've just seen Carlos Sainz fail to be able to get off the grid and then go off at the first corner. It wasn't quite ready for slicks. It was half the circuit was, the other half wasn't. But then on the second lap, he came in. I think he was the only one who came in for slick tyres. And I just thought, did the team make that call or did you? You were in a good position. Just follow the leaders, surely, because they're still in sight. You could have got some really good points there. And instead he fell back, then overtook under the safety car, which is like,
oh, he did that twice, didn't he?
Yeah,
and a virtual and actual.
That's like the ABCs of Formula One. That's the first things you should know in any motorsport, to be honest. And that's what he did, and he cost himself some good points, and in the end finished 12th.
Two geese have just got out of the river at the news of Nico Hülkenberg. You reminded me, I forgot about his double penalty for the same thing in different circumstances. That's a great shout. Yeah,
Valtteri, I think teammate wins the race, you call yourself an amateur for a mistake that you make, and probably would we say the best car of the weekend? Yeah, mostly you seem to have the pace.
Stroke season.
The other thing, Kimi, to finish that far.
Oh no, don't pick on Kimi.
I mean, I also got the fact I predicted Kimi to get on the podium, so he let me down on that.
Yeah.
And the fact he finished 42 seconds behind Vettel and was 20 odd seconds or whatever in Australia. That's a long...
It's because he should have retired by now. They should have retired him. Oh, hang on, I think Stuart's going to get a bit defensive. Go on, Kyle.
I do feel sorry for him, because it's the team strategy to leave him...
Hang on, it's a diesel. Rich, you must be really excited here.
I was like five different carriages or something.
Amazing. Go on, Kyle. Go on, Kyle.
That's the fact that Ferrari left him out for so long on a nothing strategy. And they do seem to do that quite a lot with Kimi, sort of leave him out and in no man's land strategy wise. So
I mean, if you wanted someone picking your strategy, it wouldn't be Ferrari, would it ever? Sorry, you were going to say in Kimi's defence.
Yeah, they miss Ross Brawn, right? This is something that the listeners are going to get aware of over the next season, right? See, Kimi Raikkonen, he is one of the best people ever to step into a Formula One car. The guy is an absolute legend. What he did with Sauber back in the day just set him up for a career where he's gone, he's won a title. Obviously, if you watch any promotional stuff, particularly in the first sort of Ferrari era, very, very charismatic all the time. The guy's just a legend. So I'm quite saddened by the way that it seems to be unravelling for him at the moment. And he's got the big wigs at Ferrari now picking on him publicly as well. I think this could maybe be swan song.
Oh, I love it, Stu. Great stuff, great passion.
I did read that article today, and I think Sergio Marchionne or something like that.
Yep.
Maybe
Marchionne.
That'll do.
Oh, we're all pronouncing in Italian now, are we? I see. Anyway, yep.
But he said about Kimi Raikkonen, was he tired? He was asking that question. It's just like, well, I wouldn't exactly say that. If he's your driver, don't you want to encourage him more and say, you know, kind of spice him up rather than criticise publicly, like Stuart was saying. It could be taken the wrong way, and it could put him down more, or it could actually turn into a blinding comment.
He won't give a shit, really, less probably.
No, granted, he's probably having one of any his previous exploits to the press or anything to go by.
Well, highlights then of the weekend. I mean, Kimi's radio messages were brilliant. Fernando's too. I've got here Vettel's overtake on Ricciardo. I thought that was a cracker. And I think there's a debating point to be had there, as Martin Brundle made. They couldn't overtake using DRS. So all of a sudden, they had to figure out how to overtake without it. Was that how it worked, Kyle, or you're not so sure?
I think they seemed to overtake in turn six. Was helped by they had the DRS, the back straight, and then the start-finish straight. So they were closer going round corners 1, 2, 3, heading into turn six. I think the DRS allowed them to be close to overtake in turn six. So that's
And maybe just having DRS like that to keep cars close to each other, it doesn't matter if they use it directly as an overtake, but at least the drivers can figure it out. They're all bright guys, girls.
I'm a bit of a sort of fuddy-duddy. I liked it before it was all sort of contrived. Let an overtake be an actual overtaking manoeuvre rather than this push a button magumba.
If I was to say blue flags to you, Stu,
then I would say I'd disagree.
Yeah, ditch them. Yeah, brilliant. No, that's exactly my point. Get rid of the blue flags. I completely agree. Any more highlights?
Yes. Sergio Perez, after the safety car, I think it was, he overtook someone. I can't remember who it was. He overtook someone into the first corner and he went off the track. I think it was Massa, actually. He went off the track and then he came back on and overtook him. And then he went round and overtook someone else coming out the other side of the corner. The only question is, do you remember Lewis Hamilton in Belgium 2007 against Raikkonen? He went into turn one.
Not exactly, but carry on.
He went into turn one, I think it was. He went into the bus stop and he overtook, but he cut the corner. So he dropped behind him and then he overtook again into turn one. And that was illegal and he was disqualified from the race because he didn't stay behind for more than one corner. Yeah. So how can Perez go off on turn one and then still overtake on turn one? But it was a brilliant manoeuvre.
Wow.
But consistency.
We need to raise that with the FIA, I think. But good point.
That cost Hamilton the championship that year, which was, of course, everyone was very angry about.
So. We've all forgotten about it now, Rich. Let it go. You have reminded me that Felipe Massa was in my pastor of the weekend nominations because he just completely died a death, really, in his Williams. And I'm not really sure that Williams are... Well, I had at the start of the season, I thought they were going to be really poor, and then they had a pretty good Australian Grand Prix. So it may be that we're reverting to type a little bit now, along with... Oh, no, we can't blame Lance Stroll. He got hit by Sergio Perez, by the way.
Yeah.
Rich, poor old Lance. Feel sorry for him.
To be fair, he turned in.
Any blame on Lance, inexperience?
I think he turned in.
I think it was racing incident, 50-50.
Isn't it great that we've now got those? We almost did. We didn't have racing incidents, did we, last season? Now we've got them back. It's brilliant. No, of course you crashed. You're racing. It's fine. It's how it should be. Deal with it.
You look at it, where the mirrors are. You can see the straight behind of your car. And, of course, you can't exactly see what's at like a 45-degree angle to your car. So that's where it was. It was 50-50.
Especially that part of the race, they're still learning the track. Down bits, dry bits. Just got to, keep the car on the track.
Right. I think we're done. Gents, thank you so much. Brilliant. If you're wondering how the predictions went for the Chinese Grand Prix, you can listen back to them. Just visit nrf1.uk for our podcast player, and you can get subscribed from there, or try nrf1.uk/pod subscribe. It's a back-to-back week. That means we'll return in a day or three with these gents here with our Bahrain Grand Prix preview and predictions before the weekend's fun and games begin. And the Formula One Global Fan Survey 2017. Well, we're doing it for the podcast, and you'll be invited to listen along. How exciting! So that special podcast will follow later this month. But for now, gents, thank you so much. Lovely to have you all on. Thank you to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Make sure you sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. And thanks to Future Radio, of course. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We hope you enjoyed our Shanghai delight. Next up, Bahrain, and our preview pod. We'll be with you soon. Until then, goodbye.